The following programming is sponsored by the law firm of Soloff & Zervanus. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Soloff & Zervanus show here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic broadcast. Our host, John Zervanos, is here. John, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you, Joe.
So today we're going to talk about the firm, okay, and a lot of the specialties that you guys, in the areas of the law that you guys, specialize in every day. But also we're going to talk about insurance, okay, and the importance of a variety of insurance that make a difference in somebody's life, whether it's their everyday life, they get injured on the job, or if they get injured in an auto accident. A lot of people just think it's about how good your lawyer is, and you guys are the best. But if somebody gets in an auto accident, you could bring Johnny Cochran back from the grave, and it isn't going to matter if you don't have the right insurance. And so a lot of people don't know that. But before we start, okay, and talking about that, let's talk a little bit about the firm. Okay. Tell our listeners a little bit about the firm, and what areas of the laws that is practice.
Well, we are a plaintiff's personal injury firm, which generally means you get hurt because of some third party. We can help. That might be because of an automobile accident. It might be because you fell somewhere as a result of a defect in some property, or you got hurt on the job. We also represent individuals who are sexually assaulted or victims of crime. And I personally do, and our firm as well, I represent folks who are victims of medical malpractice as a result of the standard of care not being met by doctor, nurse, nursing home, hospital, et cetera.
So when we talk about those areas of law that encompass personal injury, and like you said, it's a wide array of different specialties, okay? But the one thing, whether, like you said, it's an auto accident, medical malpractice, premises liability. So if there was a faulty situation on somebody's property, defective products, workplace, and all those things, and crime victim representation, the one thing that is the common denominator is the contingency fee agreement. Could you touch on that, John?
Sure. You've heard the advertisements that the lawyers don't get paid until they are 18. They're able to obtain a recovery on behalf of their client. And what that generally means is you take on the representation, and the client is not paying you by the hour. They pay you a percentage of whatever you're able to secure at the time of settlement, resolution of claim, verdict, and so forth. That percentage is only paid if you win. And our firm in particular advances the costs. And, we've touched on this in other shows, that costs can be very, very expensive, particularly in a medical malpractice setting, or you mentioned products liability. I've done several airbag cases where I learned more physics than I ever dreamed I would have to learn. And we had to hire multiple engineers. And that, of course, was extremely expensive. In the event of recovery, you would pay your attorney a percentage, whatever that is, and we could talk about that. And then the attorney would get all their costs back. Our firm would get our costs back. If we don't recover, the attorneys not only don't get paid, but they also lose all the money that they advanced in the course of the representation of the client. So when it says contingency, it's truly contingent on a recovery. So the client really doesn't bear any risk in the whole course of the representation. Clearly, the risk is you better hire the right lawyer. Otherwise, you're going to be in a situation you might regret later. And of course, these cases aren't easy. So, you know, there's no one size fits all. The percentage, the contingency percentage is it just varies. I mean, in a workers' comp situation, it's 20% because the state legislator basically tells us it's 20%. If you get into some Federal Tort Claims Act stuff where you're suing the federal government over something, it's generally 25%. And the reason for that is the federal government is telling you that that's what the fee is going to be. In situations where the government doesn't get involved, in Pennsylvania, the government doesn't get involved, and they don't pass laws requiring lawyers to charge a certain amount. Now, in Pennsylvania, the general rule of thumb is you charge a third. However, the case is really, really complicated, and there's a lot of risk. We charge 40% sometimes. Again, you don't pay that unless you win. And New Jersey and New York, where we're also licensed, the state legislators come in and define exactly how the fee is supposed to work. In New Jersey, it's always net of costs. So let's say you recover $100,000 and there was $10,000 in costs. The one-third fee is on that 90 grand, not the 100. In New York, it's similar structure. However, they really, really control how lawyers are able to charge their clients in medical malpractice cases. Not sure why that happened. I think there was some effort to discourage lawyers from taking on malpractice cases because they've made it so that not only are these cases very, very difficult, but the lawyer is restricted on what he can charge and so forth, despite the risks and the costs. Certainly discouraging to the legal community in terms of, you know, kind of limiting their ability to take on a lot of these cases. Fortunately, in Pennsylvania, we don't have any restrictions on how that works, at least right now.
And so the bottom line is there's no out-of-pocket costs, upfront costs for somebody who retained you or any attorney at the firm. How many attorneys are at the firm, John?
Seven.
Okay. And so
we all do personal injury cases. No one does anything outside of plaintiff's personal injury law.
Okay. And so one of the things that's really important for people to know is you need to hire the firm that not only is experienced in all those areas, but, you know, has the resources, somebody, and that's important because in a medical malpractice, you may have insurance companies paying for lots of experts and all those things to discredit the case. So the firm who is representing the individual has to be able to go toe to toe in that area when it comes to top experts, or you could find yourself in a disadvantaged situation. That's an area where clients need to know that the firm that they hire and the attorney that they hire needs to have the funding ability to be able to bring in the best experts, you know, to go toe-to-toe with the insurance companies who have unlimited coffers.
Well, that's correct. And they also have the ability to hire the best and brightest defense lawyers. So, you know, the playing field is leveled with the contingency fee agreement, because most folks can't afford a very large hourly rate to represent them in court. So the beauty of the contingency fee agreement is that it levels the playing field so that folks who generally wouldn't be able to afford top quality legal representation are now able to afford it thanks to the contingency fee.
So having said that, when we talk about the firm and I want to touch on just for 5 minutes, the expectations, you know, what clients can expect. Okay. And at the same time, the conversation from day one, these cases, you have a situation where the insurance company lobby is requiring insurance. All businesses need to have it. Employers also need to have it, obviously, mostly one and the same. But when you go to use that insurance, the insurance company's not just sending a check out, okay? Talk about managing expectations from day one so that the client understands the ebbs and flows of a case. Sometimes these cases take a year, 2 years, or even more, okay? And you need to set them up for success so that they can actually, you know, be their own, help their own case and obviously help you in the representation. Talk about setting expectations from day one when it comes to a case with a client.
Well, managing client expectations is very challenging. And it's probably one of the more important things that we do in the course of our representation, because out of the box, you have to kind of explain, you have to explain to the client how things are going to go. And you're really kind of estimating or predicting how it's going to unfold. And you're borrowing from your own experience. Clients sometimes want you to tell them what their case is worth, you know, on the first day. And it's, you're really giving your client, you're doing your client a disservice by trying to tell him, well, I'll tell you, this is what I think it's worth, when you really haven't mastered all the theories of liability or how strong the liability is or how bad the behavior is of the defendant. Some cases, the value of the cases are driven by how bad the behavior was of the defendant. You know, how shocking was it? Because, that's why these sexual assault cases generally result in very big numbers, because it involves some really, really bad behavior by individuals that oftentimes have a lot of money.
And let me jump on there just as a client, as a layman. When you say bad behavior, you're basically saying what the negligence is. In other words, extreme the negligence is.
You're working in a negligence world. Anything that's intentional isn't recoverable by insurance, because insurance only insures negligent acts, unreasonable acts. It doesn't insure someone who decides that they're going to intentionally hurt somebody. That there's no insurance for intentional acts. That's why we have a criminal court. But you try sometimes in a crime victim setting to develop a theory where there was some negligence associated with what happened here, because that oftentimes leads to someone not only seeing the perpetrator go to jail, but also they're able to recover money damages, civil recovery for what happened.
And let me, I learned this from you. So I'm going to, as I listen, as a layman and as somebody who is a member of the public, when we talk about civil criminal cases, and for example, civil sexual assault, the first thing I thought of was when I first heard this, when we first did a show, was, okay, well, you know, there's two types of justice. Okay. I know that now, but obviously prosecuting a criminal, which is important, but that doesn't typically bring a lot of money. That the assailant may be somebody who's got no, money. And no assets, okay, and hopefully is going to jail. But what you're talking about is if it's a situation where it's a civil situation where an organization hired a teacher who had a criminal background and didn't, and he commits sexual assault, or there's a parking lot where there's a history of crime and no security and no lights or anything like that, and yet the landlord continues to create a situation that is, I believe, an accomplice to the actual crime. They make it possible for somebody to commit a crime, and therefore a regular person could not know where they're, they think they're safe, but they're not. And that individual has the insurance. Okay. Like
it's kind of a simple concept. I mean, these people that they're business invitees, you're getting invited onto someone's property to buy their products or their services. So you have a responsibility to the general public, be it a supermarket, gas station, bank, to make sure that one, the property is safe and can accommodate patrons when they walk in the door and they can be safe inside. Meaning, there's not gonna be an armed robber sitting behind somewhere to rob everyone and put everybody's life at risk. Somebody just waxed the floors and, there's no safe, watch the floor signs because, we just waxed them or whatever we did, washed them, and somebody walks in and they don't even have a clue and they fall. And we can't, you kind of smirk or I get these kind of reactions from people about quote unquote slip and falls. And it's kind of unfortunate because when you hear the word slip and fall, there's like, oh, okay, somebody fell and they're trying to get money. I can tell you that some of the folks that we've represented because they fell at a property have been some of the most seriously, severely injured people that we've ever represented. And I remember a guy years ago, and he was somebody who worked in a restaurant in a hotel, and he was walking to work, just a poor working stiff walking to work. And there was a problem with the way water was running off the property, and it was freezing, and the way this was created was clearly a hazard, and there was no way the property owners didn't know that that was happening. There's just no way. And this guy wound up being a paraplegic as a result of his falling. And sometimes I scratch my head and I think to myself, how in God's name does somebody who's walking to work wind up a paraplegic because he slipped on ice because of the way the gutters were working and how things were backed up and it was accumulating a large source of moisture in one spot? And they had to know it. And trust me, they knew it was going on and they didn't do anything about it. Like, how about just salting the place right immediately? Because that's a spot that can get slippery immediately. It's simple things like that. And, there's a cynicism in the public when it comes to cases like that. But they're very, very serious cases. I represent a woman, and this is kind of like one of those roll your eyes reaction, knee-jerk reaction. But I represent a lady right now who's going in for spinal fusion surgery in her low back, where they're putting rods and plates in her spine to hold her spine together. Because she's walking in the baked goods department in a store, and I'll keep them unnamed, where a delivery person who had just brought in baked goods had left the dolly just ajar under the baked goods display. So when you're walking into a store, you're not looking down, you're looking forward at the displays. That's just what you do. But this dolly was just ajar, just out from the stack of bread that had just been delivered. And she had no reason to believe that there was a tripping hazard right there as she's walking straight to the cakes. And she tripped and flew into the cake display and had to have EMTs come in and cart her out on a backboard. Now, it might be something for a Saturday Night Live skit, but it's a serious situation. And that poor woman is going in for her triple level, I don't know if it's triple level, multi-level fusion in the very near future. So all because of that fall.
Okay, so it's interesting because your example's interesting. I just looked at my leg, right? And about 3 months ago, I was walking with my family. I'm okay, thankfully. But I was walking with my family in one of those, Home Depot-like places. Wasn't Home Depot. And there was a doggy there. And I wasn't looking down. And I hit my shin on it. And John, the cut in my leg was ridiculous right now. I was okay, but it took about a month for the damn thing. It was almost to the bone, right? I was looking down, and it was a metal piece. I mean, a big-time metal piece. My point was, when it happened, the first thing I thought of was, I mean, obviously, besides, damn, that hurt, was the fact that I didn't want to get an employee in trouble, right? I was like, I'm not going to say anything right now. I took pictures of the whole thing, including my leg, and thankfully... Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it healed, but it's a great point that you make, and I guess in that situation, everything you're talking about, the reason it's important is it's about accountability. Okay, in other words, people have to be accountable. If you're going to have a store or a place where other people are coming, that it's safe for them. I was in the nightclub business for a long time, and I'm sure you've represented clients. And give you an example of where we had. So we would have a great example would be there's a back door. Nobody wants to put a security guard there because we're not. It's a Tuesday night, okay? So nobody's coming in that door. At the same time. You know, if somebody does come in, you never know what they could have. Okay. They could have a weapon, they could have whatever. Now, We had an issue where somebody got in and they started the fight or whatever. Thankfully, there was no weapon there, but it wasn't until it cost us money. Okay. And it hit us in the pocketbook, at least with our insurance rates. Okay. That when we were in the partners.
You've seen how many stories like that in the news. It's something happens. Then the powers that be sit down and reevaluate their safety measures and protocols, and changes are made generally because of some disaster. The key is to prevent the disasters from happening before the tragedies occur. And, you know, you've seen that now in airports. I mean, just trying to get through security, we're all, getting angry at the TSA and, going through the X-ray machines, all the radiation and take off your shoes and your belts and all the stuff. Why? Generally because of 9/11.
Yeah, exactly.
That started it.
No question.
And you try to go to an Eagles game or a Sixers game.
Same thing.
That's not easy. You don't just walk into the stadium.
Right. I knew when that tragic day, 9/11, I knew that day the world had changed and your loved one.
Forever.
No question. And it's unfortunate, John, that a lot of those things, they don't happen until after the fact, that the major security, but that's unfortunately the way life is. But accountability, like medical malpractice, okay, it can be very complicated. And you're in the operating room, and you're a medical professional, and the highest standard has to be held. There's a, And of course, we got great doctors in this world. But the fact of the matter is, and I believe it all comes down to accountability, professionalism, and the fact that, you know, you need to know that when your loved one is going somewhere, that it's not an environment, okay, where they're not safe, and it doesn't cater to individuals that already know that there's no security there or there's no standards. And I know that, you know, that is a big part of what you provide. Let me ask you a question. So we only have a couple minutes left. How many people do you represent? And when we talk about, you know, a settlement or a verdict, okay, and it may help them live with dignity for the rest of their life, okay? This isn't party money where they get to go to the mall and, you know, go, you know, on a shopping spree or this is...
It's used for healthcare. It's used for a variety of things.
100%. But how many of those people, in spite of the devastating injuries at all levels of what you talked about, how many of those people, and we're going to close it up right now on this one, sit there and say, I just don't want it to happen to somebody else?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. And they would trade their injury for, you know, to be able, and whatever settlement they have for a normal situation. John, real quick, contact information if somebody wants to get in touch.
SullivanZivanos.com. You can also reach us at 215-732-2260. But the best way is get on the website, check us out, read the bios, and find out what we're doing best.
Fantastic. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Soul Offering Cervano Show here on WWDB Talk 860. I want to thank our host, John Cervanos. On behalf of John Cervanos, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Soul Offering Cervanos has your back. If you or someone you know is the victim of physical or sexual abuse or assault by an individual or individuals as a result of the negligence or fault of an organization who may have allowed it to occur, please understand that you are not alone and justice could be but one comforting and confidential phone call away. Please contact the law firm Soloff & Zervanos at 215-608-4067 if you, a loved one, or someone you know is the victim of physical or sexual abuse or assault by an individual or individuals as the result of negligence of an organization, and let their comforting, discreet, and understanding attorneys seek the justice you deserve. Again, contact the law firm Soloff & Zervanos at 215-608-4067 and let them seek the justice you deserve. Soloff & Zervanos, they have your back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Soloff & Zervanos Show here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic broadcast. Our host, John Zervanos, is here. John, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you, Joe.
So today we're going to talk about the firm, okay, and a lot of the specialties that you guys and the areas of the law that you guys, you know, specialize in every day, but also we're going to talk about insurance, okay, and the importance of a variety of insurance that make a difference in somebody's life, whether, you know, it's their everyday life, they get injured on the job, or if they get injured in an auto accident. A lot of people just think it's about how good your lawyer is, and you guys are the best. But if somebody gets in an auto accident, you could bring Johnny Cochran back from the grave and it isn't going to matter if you don't have the right insurance. And so a lot of people don't know that. But before we start, okay, and talking about that, let's talk a little bit about the firm, okay? Tell our listeners a little bit about the firm and what areas of the laws that is practice.
Well, we are a plaintiff's personal injury firm, which generally means you get hurt because of some third party, we can help. That might be because of an automobile accident. It might be because you fell somewhere as a result of a defect in some property, or you got hurt on the job. We also represent individuals who are sexually assaulted or victims of crime. And I personally do, and our firm as well, I represent folks who are victims of medical malpractice as a result of the standard of care not being met by a doctor, nurse, nursing home, hospital, et cetera.
So when we talk about those areas of law that encompass personal injury, and like you said, it's a wide array of different specialties. Okay. But the one thing, whether, like you said, it's an auto accident, medical malpractice, premises liability. So if there was a faulty situation on somebody's property, defective products, workplace, and all those things, and crime victim representation, the one thing that is the common denominator is the contingency fee agreement. Could you touch on that, John?
Sure. You heard the advertisements that the lawyers don't get paid until they are 18. They're able to obtain a recovery on behalf of their client. And what that generally means is you take on the representation, and the client is not paying you by the hour. They pay you a percentage of whatever you're able to secure at the time of settlement, resolution of claim, verdict, and so forth. That percentage is only paid if you win. And our firm in particular advances the costs. And, we've touched on this in other shows, that costs can be very, very expensive, particularly in a medical malpractice setting, or you mentioned products liability. I've done several airbag cases where I learned more physics than I ever dreamed I would have to learn. And we had to hire multiple engineers. And that, of course, was extremely expensive. In the event of recovery, you would pay your attorney a percentage, whatever that is, and we could talk about that. And then the attorney would get all their costs back. Our firm would get our costs back. If we don't recover, the attorneys not only don't get paid, but they also lose all the money that they advanced in the course of the representation of the client. So when it says contingency, it's truly contingent on a recovery. So the client really doesn't bear any risk in the whole course of the representation. Clearly, the risk is you better hire the right lawyer. Otherwise, you're going to be in a situation you might regret later. And of course, these cases aren't easy. So, there's no one size fits all. The percentage, the contingency percentage is it just varies. I mean, in a workers' comp situation, it's 20% because the state legislator basically tells us it's 20%. If you get into some Federal Tort Claims Act stuff where you're suing the federal government over something, it's generally 25%. And the reason for that is the federal government is telling you that that's what the fee is going to be. In situations where the government doesn't get involved. In Pennsylvania, the government doesn't get involved, and they don't pass laws requiring lawyers to charge a certain amount. Now, in Pennsylvania, the general rule of thumb is you charge a third. However, the case is really, really complicated, and there's a lot of risk. We charge 40% sometimes. Again, you don't pay that unless you win. And New Jersey and New York, where we're also licensed, the state legislators come in and define exactly how the fee is supposed to work. In New Jersey, it's always net of costs. So let's say you recover $100,000 and there was $10,000 in costs. The one-third fee is on that 90 grand, not the 100. In New York, it's similar structure. However, they really, really control how lawyers are able to charge their clients in medical malpractice cases. Not sure why that happened. I think there was some effort to discourage lawyers from taking on malpractice cases because they've made it so that not only are these cases very, very difficult, but then the lawyer is restricted on what he can charge and so forth, despite the risks and the costs. Certainly discouraging to the legal community in terms of, you know, kind of limiting their ability to take on a lot of these cases. Fortunately, in Pennsylvania, we don't have any restrictions on how that works, at least right now.
And so the bottom line is there's no out-of-pocket costs, upfront costs for somebody who retains you or any attorney at the firm. How many attorneys are at the firm, John?
Seven.
Okay. And so
we all do personal injury cases. No one does anything outside of plaintiff's personal injury law.
Okay. And so one of the things that's really important for people to know is you need to hire the firm that not only is experienced in all those areas, but, you know, has the resources. And that's important because in a medical malpractice, you may have insurance companies paying for lots of experts and all those things to discredit the case. So the firm who is representing the individual has to be able to go toe-to-toe in that area when it comes to top experts, or you could find yourself in a disadvantaged situation. That's an area where clients need to know that the firm that they hire and the attorney that they hire needs to have the funding ability to be able to bring in the best experts, you know, to go toe-to-toe with the insurance companies who have unlimited coffers.
Well, that's correct. And they also have the ability to hire the best and brightest defense lawyers. So, you know, the playing field is leveled with the contingency fee agreement, because most folks can't afford a very large hourly rate to represent them in court. So the beauty of the contingency fee agreement is that it levels the playing field so that folks who generally wouldn't be able to afford top quality legal representation are now able to afford it thanks to the contingency fee.
So having said that, when we talk about the firm and I want to touch on just for 5 minutes, the expectations, you know, what clients can expect. Okay. And at the same time, the conversation from day one, these cases, you have a situation where the insurance company lobby is requiring insurance. All businesses need to have it. Employers also need to have it, obviously, mostly one and the same. But when you go to use that insurance, the insurance company's not just sending a check out, okay? Talk about managing expectations from day one so that the client understands the ebbs and flows of a case. Sometimes these cases take a year, 2 years, or even more, okay? And you need to set them up for success so that they can actually you know, be their own, you know, be, you know, help their own case, and obviously help you in the representation. Talk about setting expectations from day one when it comes to a case with a client.
Managing client expectations is very challenging, and it's probably very one of the more important things that we do in the course of our representation, because out of the box, you have to kind of explain, well, you don't kind of, you have to explain to the client how things are going to go. And you're really kind of estimating or predicting how it's going to unfold. And you're borrowing from your own experience. Clients sometimes want you to tell them what their case is worth, you know, on the first day. And it's, you're really giving your client, you're doing your client a disservice by trying to tell him, well, I'll tell you, this is what I think it's worth, when you really haven't mastered all the theories of liability or how strong the liability is or how bad the behavior is of the defendant. You know, some cases, the value of the cases are driven by how bad the behavior was of the defendant. You know, how shocking was it? Because, that's why these sexual assault cases generally result in very big numbers, because it involves some really, really bad behavior by individuals that oftentimes have a lot of money.
And let me jump on there just as a client, as a layman. When you say bad behavior, you're basically saying what the negligence is. In other words, how extreme the negligence is.
You're working in a negligence world. Anything that's intentional isn't recoverable by insurance, because insurance only insures negligent acts, unreasonable acts. You know, it doesn't insure someone who decides that they're going to intentionally hurt somebody. That there's no insurance for intentional acts. That's why we have a criminal court. But you try sometimes in a crime victim setting to develop a theory where there was some negligence associated with what happened here, because that oftentimes leads to someone not only seeing the perpetrator go to jail, but also they're able to recover money damages, civil recovery for what happened.
And let me, and I learned this from you. So I'm going to, as I listen, as a layman and as somebody who is a member of the public, when we talk about civil criminal cases, and for example civil sexual assault, the first thing I thought of was, when I first heard this, when we first did a show, was, okay, well, you know there's two types of justice. Okay, I know that now, but obviously prosecuting a criminal, which is important, but that doesn't typically bring a lot of money. That the assailant may be somebody who's got no money, and no assets. Okay. And hopefully is going to jail. But what you're talking about is, if it's a situation where, it's a civil situation where an organization hired a teacher who had a criminal background and didn't, and he commits sexual assault, or there's a parking lot where there's a history of crime and no security, and no lights or anything like that, and yet the landlord continues to, create a situation that is, I believe, an accomplice to the actual crime. They make it possible for somebody to commit a crime, and therefore a regular person could not know where they're, they think they're safe, but they're not, and that individual has the insurance. Okay, like that is the. Is that what we're talking about?
It's kind of a simple concept. I mean, these people that they're business invitees. You're getting invited onto someone's property to buy their products or their services. So you have a responsibility to the general public, be it a supermarket, gas station, bank, to make sure that, one, the property is safe and can accommodate patrons when they walk in the door and they can be safe inside. Meaning, you know, there's not going to be an armed robber sitting behind somewhere to rob everyone and put everybody's life at risk. Two, you know, somebody's waxed the floors and, you know, there's no safe, you know, watch the floor signs because, you know, we just waxed them or whatever we did, washed them, and somebody walks in and they don't even have a clue and they fall. And you know, we can't, you know, you kind of smirk or I get these kind of reactions from people about quote unquote slip and falls. And it's kind of unfortunate because when you hear the word slip and fall, you know, there's like, oh, okay, somebody fell and they're trying to get money. I can tell you that some of the folks that we've represented because they fell at a property have been some of the most seriously, severely injured people that we've ever represented. And I remember a guy years ago, and he was somebody who worked in a restaurant in a hotel, and he was walking to work, just a poor working stiff walking to work. And there was a problem with the way water was running off the property, and it was freezing. And the way this was created was clearly a hazard. And there was no way the property owners didn't know that that was happening. There's just no way. And this guy wound up being a paraplegic as a result of his falling. And sometimes I scratch my head and I think to myself, how in God's name does somebody who's walking to work wind up a paraplegic because he slipped on ice because of the way the gutters were working and how things were backed up and it was accumulating a large source of moisture in one spot. And they had to know it. And trust me, they knew it was going on and they didn't do anything about it. Like, how about just salting the place right immediately? Because you know that's a spot that can get slippery immediately. It's simple things like that. And, you know, there's a cynicism in the public when it comes to cases like that, but they're very, very serious cases. You know, I represent a woman, and this is kind of like one of those roll your eyes reaction, knee jerk reaction. But I represent a lady right now who's going in for spinal fusion surgery in her low back, where they're putting rods and plates in her spine to hold her spine together because she's walking in the baked goods department in a store. And I'll keep them unnamed, where a delivery person who had just brought in baked goods had left the dolly just ajar under the baked goods display. So when you're walking into a store, you're not looking down, you're looking forward at the displays. That's just what you do. But this dolly was just ajar, just out from the stack of bread that had just been delivered. And she had no reason to believe that there was a tripping hazard right there as she's walking straight to the cakes. And she tripped and flew into the cake display and had to have EMTs come in and cart her out on a backboard. Now, it might be something for a Saturday Night Live skit, but it's a serious situation. And that poor woman is going in for her triple level, I don't know if it's triple level, multi-level fusion in the very near future. So all because of that fall.
Okay, so it's interesting because your example's interesting. I just looked at my leg, right? And about 3 months ago, I was walking with my family. I'm okay, thankfully. But I was walking with my family in one of those Home Depot like places, wasn't Home Depot. And there was a dolly there and I wasn't looking down and I hit my, my shin on it. And John, the cut in my leg was ridiculous right now. I was okay, but it took about a month for the damn thing. It was almost to the bone, right? I was looking down and it was a metal piece. I mean, a big time metal piece. My point was, when it happened, the first thing I thought of was, I mean, obviously besides damn that hurt, was the fact that I didn't want to get an employee in trouble, right? I was like, I'm not going to say anything right now. I took pictures of the whole thing, including my leg. And thankfully it healed. But it's a great point that you make. And I guess in that situation, everything you're talking about, the reason it's important is it's about accountability. Okay. In other words, people have to be accountable. If you're going to have a store or a place where other people are coming, that it's safe for them. I was in the nightclub business for a long time, and I'm sure you've represented clients, and give you an example of where we had. So we would have a great example would be there's a back door. Nobody wants to put a security guard there because it's a Tuesday night. Okay. So nobody's coming in that door. At the same time, if somebody does come in, you never know what they could have. Okay. They could have a weapon. They could have whatever. Now, we had an issue where somebody got in and they started the fight or whatever. Thankfully, there was no weapon there, but it wasn't until it cost us money. Okay. And it hit us in the pocketbook, at least with our insurance rates. Okay. That when we were in the partners.
You've seen how many stories like that in the news. It's something happens, then the powers that be sit down and reevaluate their safety measures and protocols, and changes are made generally because of some disaster. The key is to prevent the disasters from happening before the tragedies occur. And, you've seen that now in airports. I mean, just trying to get through security, we're all, getting angry at the TSA and, going through the X-ray machines, all the radiation and take off your shoes and your belts and all the stuff. Why? Generally because of 9/11.
Yeah, exactly.
That started it.
No question.
And you try to go to an Eagles game or a Sixers game.
Same thing.
That's not easy. You don't just walk into the stadium.
Right. I knew when that tragic day, 9/11, I knew that day the world had changed. And your loved one.
Forever.
Yeah, no question. And it's unfortunate, John, that a lot of those things, they don't happen until after the fact, that the major security, but that's unfortunately the way life is. But accountability, like medical malpractice, okay, it can be very complicated, and you're in the operating room and you're a medical professional and the highest standard has to be held. And of course we got great doctors in this world, but the fact of the matter is, and I believe it all comes down to accountability, professionalism, and the fact that, you need to know that when your loved one is going somewhere, that it's not an environment, okay, where they're not safe, and it doesn't cater to individuals that already know that there's no security there or there's no standards. And I know that, that is a big part of what you provide. Let me ask you a question. So we only have a couple minutes left. How many people do you represent? And when we talk about, a settlement or a verdict, okay, and it may help them live with dignity for the rest of their life. Okay. This isn't party money where they get to go to the mall and, on a shopping spree
it's used for healthcare. It's used for a variety of things.
100%. But how many of those people, in spite of the devastating injuries at all levels of what you talked about, how many of those people, and we're going to close it up right now on this one, sit there and say, I just don't want it to happen to somebody else?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. And they would trade their injury for, you know, to be able, and whatever settlement they have for a normal situation. John, real quick, contact information if somebody wants to get in touch.
SullivanZivanos.com. You can also reach us at 215-732-2260. But the best way is get on the website, check us out, read the bios, and find out what we're doing best.
Fantastic. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Soul Offering Zivano Show here on WWDB Talk 860. I want to thank our host, John Zivanos. On behalf of John Zivanos, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.